You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Don. This is the Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you survived the storms across Wisconsin yesterday. Some pretty significant damage in Dodge County, as well as in the Twin Cities area, including around New Richmond, all across western Wisconsin, and Colby and Marathon County. Again, hope you made it through and are safe and sound rolling into the weekend here. Want to start with a bit of breaking news. If you haven't heard yet, 5 hardline right Republicans in the House of Representatives voted against Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill that's going to make the rich richer and the poor poorer. Yes, it is reversed Robin Hood. So you might think, oh, why did these Republicans vote against the bill? Maybe they actually want to do something for working poor and working people in the United States. No, they don't. They just want to gut even more of the things that help people keep going in these incredibly hard times. And just moments before we came back on air, word has come through. There is reporting that the United States has just lost its last perfect credit rating. What is a credit rating? Well, we all have them. So do nations. It's what credit rating agencies give to a borrower. The United States, when it issues treasury bills, is effectively borrowing from the folks that purchase those treasury bills. When your credit rating is downgraded, just like our credit scores as consumers, when you are downgraded, it means you are a higher credit risk for default, and it costs more. You have to pay more in interest. Please keep your eye on what's about to happen in the financial markets come Monday morning. This is also likely to drive interest rates up. So remember those cheap eggs, gas, and housing that Donald Trump promised? You know, peace between Ukraine and Russia in a day, all those things. Yeah, ain't happening and not happening anytime soon. Also breaking today, Judge Hannah Dugan, that is the Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, who was arrested on Good Friday for some, what I'm going to call kind of bogus charges, for basically controlling her courtroom, which she is entitled absolutely to do. Those are federal charges. By the way, the penalties on those, I think, run somewhere north of 5 years and $350,000 in damages. Well, she has set up a legal defense fund to help pay her attorneys in that case. Now, make note of this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what someone does when they actually care about conflicts of interest and ethics. Here's what Judge Dugan did with her legal defense fund. There are incredibly tight restrictions on who can donate to this because the judge intends to return to the bench. You cannot donate to the judge's defense fund if you are a Milwaukee County resident. So if you live in the county in which she sits as a judge, can't donate. You can't donate if you're an attorney that practices anywhere in Milwaukee County. You can't donate if you're a lobbyist or work for a lobbying firm. You can't donate if you're another Wisconsin judge. You can't donate if you are a person with a pending case before Milwaukee County Circuit Court, and you cannot donate if you are a county employee. And yes, the only people who can donate are U.S. citizens. They set up a separate blind trust. Hey, That seems to make some sense, does it not? And that trust will be monitored by specialized legal counsel with specialties in legal ethics, and it will be overseen by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Gieske. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you do it when you actually care about ethics and conflicts of interest. I say bravo, Hannah. Well done. Also in other breaking news, former FBI Director James Comey is now apparently under investigation from the Department of Justice for posting a picture on social media of seashells on a beach that were arranged to spell out 8647. He posted on Instagram, cool shell formation on my beach walk. In a follow-up post, he said that he assumed the shells were a political message, and he said, I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me, but I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down. Now, the term 86 used to be used first in restaurant circles, hospitality circles, meaning 86, the shrimp. The shrimp is gone. We don't have any more of that. Let be 86 that. It's expanded to mean 86, meaning to rub somebody out if you're in the mafia. So this is what happened, sort of the errant social media post. Do I think this was appropriate? No. Do I think it should be condemned? Yes. Do I condemn it? Yes. You got to do better than that, former FBI director James Comey. But did it merit this from National Security Secretary Tulsi Gabbard talking to Jesse Waters? Take a listen.
You know, whatever, I will tell you that there is a guy in Georgia who was issuing threats on my life about a month ago, and he's in jail today. He has been indicted with a crime, as he should have been, and he is in jail as we speak. So whatever James Comey intent, he and people like him need to be held to account according to the law, which is something that he claims to have given his life for and stands by the rule of law. Fantastic. The rule of law says people like him who issue direct threats against the president of the United States, essentially issuing a call to assassinate him, must be held accountable under the law.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do. Any other person with the position of influence that he has, people who take very seriously what a guy of his stature, his experience, and what the propaganda media has built him up to be, I'm very concerned for the president's life. We've already seen assassination attempts. I'm very concerned for his life. And James Comey, in my view, should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
Are you frickety fracking kidding me? I mean, I don't know how someone gets through that interview maintaining a straight face. A position of influence, and people must be held accountable under the law. I'm sorry. Did Men in Black delete Tulsi Gabbard's memory about January 6th? No one thinks this smacks a bit of hysteria and total hypocrisy and double standards. Again, I condemn what Jim Comey posted. It was stupid. But the idea to even suggest that Jim Comey actually means that someone should assassinate Donald Trump is both ludicrous as hyperbole as it is on a literal basis. Jim Comey is too smart to think that if someone actually killed Donald Trump, that would probably create a complete martyr situation. The man would become that. He doesn't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Please, no one harm whatever that stuff is on top of Donald Trump's head. Please do not harm hair, floof, whatever, Aquanet, whatever that is. Don't harm the man. I want Donald Trump ensconced in a balloon, a bubble boy area of protective comfort for the rest of his days. I don't want anything bad to happen to the man. No, 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 no. I was enraged when someone tried to kill him. That is so absurdly ridiculous that it beggars explanation. And Tulsi Gabbard knows it. She knows it. And as if there was not enough completely mind-boggling hypocrisy, I just wanted to share with you this additional little fact from the day's breaking news. We were talking a bit about the Supreme Court's birthright citizenship case that they heard yesterday. I was talking about that with my first guest host today, Jim Santel. And I forgot to note this. Again, on the hypocrisy theme this afternoon, guess who came out and said they think birthright citizenship should go away? Just I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. A widely reviled senator. A widely reviled senator. Maybe a senator who, while half of his state was facing blackouts and bizarre freezing cold weather and people were dying, maybe went on a vacation. Yes, the answer to this question is Ted freaking Cruz said we should get rid of birthright citizenship. Now, if you forget about Ted Cruz, he was born in Canada and his dad was born in Cuba. Now, is Ted Cruz a citizen? Yes, he is. His mother was an American citizen. But again, I think that Ted, you might want to try that one out before you like ride it off into the sunset. Might be a little bit of a bumpy ride on that one. Yeah, hypocrisy seems to be the theme of the day. The Republican Party saying that they're for middle class and working people while providing the largest tax cuts to 100 millionaires, billionaires, and mega corporations. Yeah, that's what they're debating today. Actually, that their tax cut plan would reduce the net income of the poorest Americans and would likely not help at all the vast majority of the middle class. Yep, that's hypocrisy number one. We got Tulsi Gabbard, hypocrisy number two, calling for the former FBI director to be jailed. And hypocrisy number three, Ted Cruz, telling everybody that he doesn't believe in birthright citizenship. Doesn't get much worse than this. Ollie from the Northwoods, what you got for us this afternoon?
Well, just a little bit of hypocrisy by way of our new king. Wasn't it him who reposted, just as Comey did, a picture of Biden on the back of a truck where it looks like Biden's dead? Trump reposted that, and none of the Republicans called for his arrest.
Yeah, Ollie, that's the point, right? The brand of the Republican Party is rules for thee and none for me. It is two sets of operating rules. One for Democrats. You got to tell the truth. You got to have ethics. You got to be above reproach. And we can say all kinds of inflammatory, incendiary, violence-inducing things, and nobody bats an eye. In fact, we'll pardon January 6th insurrectionists that beat the crap out of cops. Nothing to see here, folks. When I come back, we're going to discuss what real system change looks like, because we got an example of it right here in Wisconsin, right here in Milwaukee. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm also going to be dropping the word of the day. It's Free Ticket Friday. You want to get your Brewers tickets? Keep it locked right here. We'll be back after these brief messages on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday afternoon. We're cruising through the afternoon. Hopefully you're cruising home from work. Please drive safely out there. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's start with the fun stuff, shall we? It is Free Ticket Friday all summer long, all across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network from morning until the afternoon in each one of our shows that comes to you locally in your neck of the woods. We are dropping words to win during our talk programs. All you need to do is text that word to win using the Civic Media app. You can get that app wherever you get your apps from for free. You text that in, you'll get a bounce back text that acknowledges that we've received it. And then on Monday, you will be notified if you are one of our lucky Free Ticket Friday Brewers Ticket giveaway winners. We're giving away 4 club level seats, beautiful view of the ballpark. Today's tickets are for this coming Wednesday, May 21st. There's a 12-10 game versus the Baltimore Orioles. Ooh, I do love me some Baltimore. The Wire is one of my favorite shows of all time. I have been in Camden Yards. It is gorgeous. But this game, ladies and gentlemen, is at AmFam Field. Again, if you want to win 4 club-level tickets to the Brewers game for this Wednesday, May 21st at 12:10, just text in the word WIN. That is W-I-N as in winning, WIN, W-I-N, via the Civic Media app, and you will be entered to win 4 wonderful tickets to this coming Wednesday's Brewers game. But let's get back to the news business. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about system change and how damnedly difficult it actually is. And I want to talk about the Milwaukee Public School System. MPS has been, I think, an example of lack of good governance, lack of good fiscal controls, lack of good oversight, right? And they are, again, today there was some breaking news that the state is looking at withholding funding because they continue to fail to produce the fiscal reports that they need to. There's a new superintendent, and she's been doing a lot of things. She's brought in new auditors. She's looking to reduce the amount of administrators that are in central office, trying to move positions back into the schools. There's a lot happening here. Big systems produce big, complicated, challenging system problems. And there was also a bit of news this week that the Milwaukee business community, including Bader Philanthropies, Baird, Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Herb Cole Philanthropies, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Northwestern Mutual, Rockwell Automation, We Energies, and Waco, that they're going to commit $500,000 to help Milwaukee public schools implement and address the system changes and problems that were identified by independent auditors over the past year. And they did this because they believe in the new superintendent. According to Greater Milwaukee Committee President Joel Brennan, he said that MPS Superintendent Brenda Caselius has, quote, set a tone about her accessibility, her sense of urgency on the job, and the enormity of the task in front of her. And I wanted to use this as an example, as a contrepoint, as it were, to what Donald Trump has been doing with the federal government. Real system change is difficult. It's time-consuming. And oftentimes, while you must move with urgency and focus, it requires some level of consensus building, not just with the people directly involved, but with all stakeholders. I know this. I have worked to reform systems myself. I did it running one of the city of Milwaukee's retirement plans. I built it, rebuilt it from the ground up. I did it in the Office of Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. It took me a couple of years at least to do that. But the feeling of change, I will say, the illusion of change, the smoke and mirrors of change, that's pretty easy to do. It's also easy to just break things and not actually fix them or improve them. It's even easy, English, Maggie, it's even easier, in my opinion, to tell people that you're changing things, give them the illusion of change, and actually be not just breaking it, but biasing systems to benefit a select few. When people have distrust of systems and institutions, if you come in, you brand yourself as a change agent, you say, I'm doing this, and everybody says, yes, let's go do this. And nobody's really watching how you're, quote, fixing the system, maybe you're just, you know, giving handouts to your buddies. In my opinion, if you contrast all of the deep embedded system problems in NPS and all of the ways that we know that that system has to improve, and you contrast what MPS new superintendent Brendan Casselius is trying to do in partnership with the business community, in partnership with the teachers' unions, in partnership with the school board, in partnership with the greater Milwaukee community writ large. Boy, does that stand in sharp contrast to the, I'm going to tell you I'm fixing the problems, but what I'm actually doing is just breaking the whole damn thing and taking the scraps and handing them out to all my favored cronies and the wealthy, which is what Donald Trump is doing. Beware the snake oil salesman of change. Real change is hard. It takes time. And oh yeah, it takes some level of competence. When we come back, we're having that favorite Friday segment called Ask Maggie, where you get to ask me whatever the heck you want. And I, at least hypothetically, have a time-delimited period to answer your questions. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Ask Maggie's next. It's Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a fine afternoon. Welcome and welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, every Friday, we've been doing this little segment called Ask Maggie, where you, the listeners, can ask me basically anything you gosh darn want. And the catch here is I either get 20, 30 seconds, or maybe if Jamie's feeling really generous, a whole minute to answer your imponderables. Jamie, of course, is my senior producer. She joins me now for this great segment. If you want to send your questions in, you can do so on the text line. You can email us at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. We take those all week long. Again, that's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can even give us a buzz, 855-752-4842. Jamie, how you doing? It's nice you're in Milwaukee this afternoon. I'm going to be able to see you after the show.
I know. It's very exciting. I got to tell you, though, I'm exhausted. My kid is working me really, really hard. I'm here because I'm going to be hosting MATC, Milwaukee Area Technical College's Student Ops Day, where they basically take over PBS tomorrow. And he needed a host. I told him I should be 52nd in line. Turns out he went through all 52 choices, and here we are. This is what we do for our kids. I'm exhausted. I have been over at the studio since like 7 a.m. and wrapped up literally about 15 minutes before the show started and got here today so that, you know, we could have a little radio fun and create a little radio magic at the same time. So.
Little radio fun. Speaking of a little radio fun, we are in the midst of Free Ticket Friday. Remember, if you want to win 4 tickets to this Wednesday's 12:10 Brewers game against the Baltimore Orioles, use the Civic Media app and text the word WIN, W-I-N. Remember, all of the rules of the contest you can find at civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Just go to Civic Media's website. You can find the rules.
Just text it. There. Just text it through the app. That's easy.
That's right. Text through the app, WIN. You'll get a bounce back acknowledging your text, and we will let you know on Monday if you won. But let's see what listeners have for me this Friday, Jamie.
Before we get started, we've got this really fun new intro that, because of all the breaking news on Fridays, we haven't even got to roll this out yet. So, Jacob, let's hit that because I'm so excited for you to hear it.
Yay.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's my so gosh. Awesome. That's amazing, Jamie. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Of course. Got to have a little fun. If you haven't noticed, we're going with the game show theme where it's a little bit like, whose line is it anyway? Points don't matter. You're not going to win anything, but we're going to have a whole lot of fun at the end. And so the last couple of editions of Ask Maggie have been more on a serious note. So I feel like we should do maybe a couple more serious, but have a little bit of fun today as well. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I could use some fun.
Okay. All right. So the first question that we're going to ask today is from Amy, and she texted in from Onalaska, and she wants to know, Maggie Dawn, do you have any big plans for the weekend? So Jacob, we'll give Maggie 30 seconds for this one. If you've got any big plans.
Well, First of all, my plan is to have a drink with my amazing senior producer, Jamie, after my show this afternoon. We might have a little bite to eat. Tomorrow, I've got dinner with my mom and dad. A week later, celebration of Mother's Day. I'm not a big out-to-brunch person for these sorts of events, so dinner it is. And maybe, maybe the opera Carmen with my mom on Sunday. Did you read that the woman who's singing the lead in Carmen, I think her name, I'm blanking on her name right now, but she's from Sheboygan originally, and she has sung with the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. She's quite talented, so looking forward to that with my mom. It should be good fun.
Awesome. We're going to have a little bit of a family day as well, because not only is the kid hosting and producing this live show, my baby's graduating from college tomorrow as well. So it's of a big deal.
Congratulations to your family.
Thank you. I'm very excited. And then the 18-year-old, since we homeschool, we've got to finish up some math, and then he'll eventually get to the graduation part too. My kids are not pomp and circumstance kids, though. Never have been. So I never got to do the dances, right? No proms, anything like that. They weren't pomp and circumstance over high school graduation. And now tomorrow, mom will be working, and the kid's literally going to walk across the stage. He's going to get his diploma, and then he's going to run back to PBS. So he's like, "You don't really need to be there for that, mom." I was like, "Seriously, I don't get anything."
Graduation ceremonies are kind of a drag. Unless you have like the best commencement speaker ever, they're kind of a drag for everybody involved. The kids are itching to get out of there, so are the family. They just want to see their kid walk across the stage.
So I don't even know if we get that tomorrow, but that's besides the point. Your weekend sounds awesome and, again, like a whole lot of fun. So let's get to another question, though. Let's do, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe I'm going to give you a minute on this one, because it's a little bit of the economics and tariffs, all right? And Jim actually just called in. Jacob just got to speak with him. He is from Kenosha. And Jim's question is this: why does Walmart charge such a markup and pass tariffs on to the customer? So 1 minute for this one when you're ready, Maggie.
Well, if we zoom way out, there's been such consolidation in so many industries. So whether or not you're talking about on Walmart's grocery end or on their retail end, Walmart can actually shrink their input or their purchase price of the supplies that they need or the things that they're selling to you because they have such market power, right? Which means on a per item basis, even if Walmart's margins shrink a lot, they're still going to make a profit. Now, what happens when you've got inflation or tariffs and it drives prices for retail goods like clothing, sneakers, school supplies, or groceries up is that a lot of retailers, even when inflation comes down and even when tariffs peel off, will keep their prices high because now their margin is huge. And I believe it's something like 90% of Americans live within 10 minutes of a Walmart. So many of our friends and family rely on Walmart for their basic groceries and household goods and just everyday items. So, excuse me, one of the things that I think has gotten lost in a lot of this discussion is the fact that so many industries across the United States have consolidated to such a degree that a very small handful of companies, and I mean like five or six or less, can, without getting in a room, almost price fix at a level that is above where it would be if there was a healthy, excuse me, that's my frogginess, healthy and robust competitive market. So thanks for that very nerdy, wonderful question, Jim.
It is a good question. And Walmart just made big news yesterday because they were on the news networks. They're one of their financial advisors or financial gurus, I'll call him. I don't know what his official title was, talking about how because of the tariffs, they're going to start have to increasing their prices. And that's overall going to affect people all across, as you were saying, across the country. So that is a really good question. And I think I mean, you've been talking about this. We're just starting to see what the tariffs are going to create for the average family, right? I mean, this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg.
Even with the rollback in the Chinese tariffs, we're still at the highest average tariff rate that our country has seen basically since post-World War II. And what's particularly pernicious, Jim, and just to talk about, we talked about this with Richard Trent of the Main Street Alliance, I believe, on Wednesday, which if you missed that show, you can go find it at civicmedia.us or on Apple Pods or Spotify, is that for small businesses, if their margin shrinks and shrinks and shrinks because tariffs have gone up and they do not believe they can pass that tariff on to their customers, or customers stop buying their goods because they're so much more expensive, that small business just goes under. Walmart and other massive, what I'm going to call mega corporations, are much more easily able to absorb parts of tariffs and or uncertainty over a period of time simply because of economies of scale. Economies of scale generally means if you have large-scale market integration, in other words, vertical integration or horizontal integration, all these business school terms, you're so big that fluctuations kind of smooth out for you. That's like the really distilled down way to explain that.
Yeah.
So again, tariffs really ultra painful for small businesses. That's why, again, talking with Richard Trent, we're going to be looking at, I think, tens of thousands of small businesses going under. We're going to see, I think, increases in bankruptcy filings and the like because of this prolonged uncertainty and this extraordinarily high tariff level. And, of course, consumer confidence released today, some reports on that, the lowest it has been in a very long time. Consumers and businesses freaked out. What does that mean? Businesses hold on to cash, consumers stop spending, it tightens up the economy, you can end up with stagflation, which means the economy isn't growing, it's either stagnant or actually shrinking, meaning GDP isn't going up, and inflation. Okay, I've gone on far too long. Thank you, Jim from Kenosha. I've just nerded out about econ on
Important, and it's totally cool that you're nerding out about it, because we have to keep having these conversations, because real people are going to be affected. And I think what you just said is important. I mean, this kind of feels like the George W. Bush, at least it could feel like the George W. Bush economy on steroids. That's kind of what it feels like. And that's kind of the looming feeling I continue to get as we kind of wiffle waffle back and forth on all of this tariff talk. And one day it's this, one day it's not, one day we're rolling things back, one day we aren't. I mean, it just feels like an entire recession, stagnation, inflation, like I said, on steroids. That's what it feels like right now.
Well, it's like just bust out Ferris Bueller's Day Off and listen to the back and forth in the high school economics class that explained that Smoot-Hawley and the tariffs imposed then drove the United States deeper and deeper into the Great Depression. Yeah. We don't want to see that here. Thanks Jim from Kenosha, for your excellent question.
Good question. Okay. Do we have time for one more this segment?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. No. Jacob says no.
No, we do.
Oh, gosh.
Listen, Jacob is the boss of both you and I, Jamie.
He's the time overlord, and that's cool. Somebody's got to be that, right?
Someone's got to do all the heavy lifting and hard work around here to
you've
keep
got a
Jamie
minute
and I.
And 5 seconds, ladies.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what, we can do a 20-second question.
Can we do a 20-second? We can do a 20-second. I'll
give
ask
me a
it
quick
really quickly.
One.
A really quick one. This came in on the text line, and the question is, what is your favorite beer? Porter Stout, Scotch, Ale, Lager? This person, I'm sorry I don't have your name because I'm looking at it quickly in our chat. 20 seconds, what's your favorite beer?
I love a red ale. I am one of those weirdos. Love a red ale. That is my jam. Thanks so much to Jamie. Thanks so much to each and every one of you for your questions. Remember, you can submit those. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us or on our text line 855-752-4842. When we come back, I'm going to have some closing thoughts on the passing of Justice Souter and what he stands for, an exemplar for lawyers, judges, and Americans alike. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. So, former Supreme Court Justice Souter died last Thursday. And he's most well known for being a Republican appointee who did not follow Republican orthodoxy as a Supreme Court justice. And the phrase, not another Souter, became sort of the rallying call amongst Republicans. I wanted to talk about him a little bit because I actually think Justice Souter provides not just an example for lawyers and judges about how to be a great lawyer, how to be a great judge or justice, as the case may be, but I think he provides an example to every single American about what actual patriotism is in this moment. Because one of the things that I have noted is that it is so difficult, and in my opinion, very much difficult, very differently difficult, for Democrats or liberals or progressives to have a calm discussion with fervent Trump supporters. In contrast, I find it the case that many Democrats will concede points, acknowledge uncomfortable truths and facts when confronted with them by Republicans and especially the MAGA faithful, will acknowledge that there is middle ground, will point out extremism when we see it. In other words, I think, generally speaking, Democrats are more likely to have a fair and good faith argument and discussion about policy and politics. And I wanted to read for all of you something that Justice Souter wrote. He was speaking about how to be a great judge, but what he really was saying is to be a great American, we must be willing to be even-handed, open-minded, humble, and then careful and explicit when we are arguing about a legal case or about policy and politics. So I wanted to share this with you. I found it again, courtesy of Georgetown University law professor Stephen Vladek. So here it goes. This is Justice Souter. He was writing about another legal historian that he admired. And the language is, you know, a rich, but stay with me here because I think it's quite powerful. Chronic even-handedness compels a judge to come out and say what he or she was really choosing between. The torment of competing reasons forced the judge to face the very facts that placed his principles in tension. And not just to face the facts, but to heft them and feel their weight until finally the needle of his mind moved off dead center. The account of judge and man and their mutual integrity are companions. Not about what a judge's judging was, but about what anyone's judging ought to be. To place evidence out in plain sight, to explain your reasoning unhurried, that the analysis has no shortcuts, that there are no stretches lost from sight behind some edifice of generality, that your relentless honesty in testing evidence and treating issues create an atmosphere around each case and each question. Every judge has common obligations to be suspicious of easy cases, skeptical about clear-edged categories and bright-line rules, to be modest in the face of precedent, candid in playing one worthy principal against another, and to have the nerve to do it in concrete facts on an open page. We are all urged to hunt for, quote, general guidance from close examination of the particular, acknowledging that details spark the intuition and real judging gets done from the ground up. So we come to a judicial paradox that we have no hope of serving the most exalted without respecting the most concrete. Judicial duty points to Blake's grain of hand. It is what the old common law judges understood and what Antoninus knew, whose strength never failed him until he lost touch with the earth. While I cannot tell you what I will do with the dilemmas, the cases already on the way to my court, I think I will know enough to treat with them by being the kind of judge that common law requires. To know that you haven't got the answers up your sleeve, to not prejudge, but to decide the cases as they come along. This lesson is so simple. Justice Souter took his obligation to analyze questions as they come along without pre-deciding them, without adherence to team or tribe. This is every American's call to action today. I say, not never again any Souters. We need more Justice Souters. We need you to be a Justice Souter. That's going to do it for me. Stay tuned for Pete Schwabba. I'm Maggie Dawn. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.